The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, welcome. And tonight we'll continue talking about the five faculties or the five powers, also known as Indriya and Bala. Indriya is a term to refer to the faculties, Bala the powers, so they're the same group of five things. One is in its more sort of mundane state, like we've got the classic term is faith, energy, mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom. So these are always in our lives, all of these factors, hopefully, you know, or accessible to us. And in a casual way, they're faculties. And as we cultivate them and develop them and grow them, they become powers. Because they create, you know, if we have them happening, when we feel energy in our body, right? When we have a lot of energy, it has power, right? It's there. It's accessible. When we have faith, when we have trust, confidence, what's different when we look out at the world from a place of trust or faith or confidence? When we're really embodying it, how is it to see differently, to be differently when we're coming from a place? Right? It's very different, yeah? Very different. So as we cultivate these in us, they become powers, very powerful powers. And Indriya is, you know, this term for a Vedic god, right? It's these faculties are named after a Vedic god. And so this language is a little intense for me. It's from Bhikkhu Bodhi, but it speaks to something really strong and powerful. Maybe we'll unpack it a little bit. So Indriya applies to this group as a whole, is derived from this ancient Vedic god, the ruler of the devas, and the term accordingly suggests the divine-like quality of control and domination. Control and domination. Divine-like quality of control and domination. So just that right there, how do you feel when you hear that? Like those words are a little, for me, a little intimidating. And so, and what I think Bhikkhu Bodhi is pointing to here is that when we have confidence, when we have trust, for example, because that's the topic for tonight, that helps us have control of ourselves, control of how we're seeing and responding. When we have this sense of trust, there's not all this reactivity. We're not being jerked around by our own fears and anxieties and greed and wanting. You know, so they dominate. They give us a sense of independence, maybe. And so he goes on to say that each of the five exercise control in their own specific compartments of the spiritual life. So, and they really are, each of these, like if you've experienced concentration, if you've experienced strong mindfulness, if you've experienced strong energy and strong faith, they really can have quite a full body, mind, kind of energy experience. I don't know how to put it, but they're really powerful. They're very powerful when cultivated. And as we grow them, actually, we have to, and like in a retreat setting, we actually have to keep them in balance as well. And so there's, with faith, the faculty of wisdom is really important to have both, so that we don't over go into this sort of just blind trust, right? We need wisdom here. And energy is balanced out with concentration. So the energy gets focused and calmed and centered and collected as opposed to bouncing off the walls. So there's this beautiful dance that they can have, this beautiful way that they can grow, and this beautiful way that they're just mundane too. They're just part of, they're all part of our lives already. And the Buddha teaches us how to cultivate these as qualities, how to utilize them and help them become powers for us in our lives and our practice. They're also kind of equated to virtues, which is kind of beautiful, right? There's a beautiful quality about them that is, for me, it does feel like a virtue, right? It does feel like a virtue to each one of these to embody them. When I was thinking about this, let me just say how much I love trust, the power of experiencing trust. It is so powerful to feel like no matter what's going on, somebody's mad at you, upset with you, you know, you're running late, you have a flat tire, your bank account is low, whatever it is. It is so powerful to settle into trust. Okay, we'll figure it out. Like, just like, instead of like, you know, what's the opposite? What is the opposite? Jackie, you can absolutely pick up that mic and say the word that came to your mind, whatever it is. Please. Great, we'll hear them all with the mic on, yeah.
Worry, anxiety, fear.
Yes, yes, yes. So, wow, like so much more access to love and life and peace when we have trust. So much more. And we sometimes we're really challenged to find what in this can I trust? Where do we find? And sometimes that's part of the struggle is trying to figure out where can I rest? Because the mind is, there's no guarantees, there's no permanence, things are changing, you know, there's, people are unreliable, you know, like we can't control others. So finding how to connect with what to trust is of essence, is absolute, of essential nature, really just absolutely essential. But when we do find that spot, you know, we can stop struggling against life. Whether it's the flat tire or the bank account or the person that's mad at us or whatever it is, we can stop fighting against it. And then all we have is the fight and not the struggle, and it's much easier. Much easier. So I, like you, Jackie, had sort of all those same words in mind, and I was thinking about, oh, yeah, let's talk a minute about non-faith. It could be called anxiety, right? And in, traditionally, it's the kalesas, right? The kalesas is a term that's used as barriers or blockades. So, you know, anxiety. And the thing about, you know, anxiety is meant to protect us from danger. But most of us are actually imagining the danger. We're creating it in our own minds. And it creates a quite a strong feeling of, you know, it can be dread. Feel that? Isn't that awful to feel dread? It's awful, awful feeling for me, sick in my stomach. Right? Way down. Dropping feeling. Uneasiness. Queasiness. Fear. You know? These are not pleasant states. Experiential states. They are very unpleasant. It can cause us to sweat, feel restless, be tense, have rapid heartbeats. You know, there's very strong physiological responses to being filled with anxiety, the opposite of trust. And one thing that can be helpful, you know, because essentially we need fear, right? We need to be afraid if a car is driving at us. We need to get out of the way, right? So, but so often we're not really afraid of what's happening. So often what we're afraid of is what we're imagining or afraid is going to happen, right? So it's very helpful to sort of befriend fear that has to do with something that's a true threat that's imminent, thinking about it as imminent. And then think about the fear that comes from anxiety about imagined things that might happen as not useful, not helpful. Some key facts, interesting facts. 31% of U.S. adults experience anxiety disorder at some point in their lives. This is not an uncommon thing. This is a very common thing. It's the world's, anxiety disorders are the world's most common mental disorders, affecting 301 million people in 2019. And over 40 million adults in the U.S., 19% of the population. More women are affected by anxiety disorders than men. Symptoms of anxiety often have an onset during childhood or adolescence, but it can happen also later in life at any time. And so the opposite of trust might be anxiety, fear, you know, this sort of cluster. There's others maybe that could be named, but I just, what does the opposite feel like? What is it, the opposite of those feelings? What does it feel like? What it, can you describe? What does it feel like to feel trust? What happens in your body? Cool, please. Yeah, Jackie, grab the mic.
Peace. Joy, security, that comes in my mind, especially security about who I am or where I stand in my life. Mm-hmm. That comes to my mind.
Beautiful, yeah. And where do you feel that in your body?
After I learned meditation, I'm more conscious of where it happens.
Yeah.
Before, I didn't know where it was or how to locate it or how to, you know, but now I close my eyes and I totally locate it in my heart, in my body, and my mind. And then bring to my consciousness. I'm aware of what's going on. Mm. So that's...
Great, thank you. You're able to be aware when you feel trust.
After I learned meditation.
After I learned meditation. Okay, thank you. Jackie?
I was going to say calm and grounded.
Mm-hmm. And where do you feel those things? How do you experience calm and grounded?
Everywhere.
Everywhere? And anything
like
else you
down
can...
down through?
It feels like the energy's
abroad,
moving down through?
Going through.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else want to add? What does it feel like, Tracy?
I get all my stress and anxiety in my stomach.
Uh-huh.
and it starts to tie itself in knots.
Uh-huh.
And then once I find the calm, I can, you know, almost physically feel the knots in my stomach untying.
Great.
And it starts to feel, the word that comes to my mind is effervescent.
Beautiful, Tracy.
I can tell right away in my stomach when I am not
what a gift.
Being mindful. Yes, what it a is gift. A gift.
What a gift. Can you hand it right there?
I'm just going to piggyback on that and say that those rare moments when I can trust and put it down,
yeah,
I have this feeling of this amazing feeling wash all over me as if I have dropped so much weight. But it's a struggle.
Yeah, so isn't it amazing how much of a struggle it can be, you know? And so in the beginning of the meditation, I invited you to kind of picture or connect with what would happen if you trusted. You just sat back and you just trusted whatever's happening in the mind, it's happening. You don't have to do anything about it, just don't get involved in it. You know, this is the kind of trust that we have. It's nothing. It is both marvelous trust and so simple. It's like, do you trust your body to digest your food? Not always. Not when you're anxious and fearful, right? It does affect the body's digestive system. In fact, our nervous system moves into shutting down our digestive system when we're too threatened. But are you ever involved in making the body digest the food? Do you ever control that? You do not have to pull levers, push buttons, measure things. You don't do that. The body knows how to do it when we get out of the way or when our conditions allow us to relax. This is the kind of trust we need for mindfulness, to let wisdom do its work, awareness do its work. We don't have to get in there and do battle with our thoughts. We can't make ourselves stop thinking. We can actually stop fighting with them. And we can allow them to be kind of seen without entanglement in a way that lets them digest, be digested, processed, move through, seen, let go of. So the letting go that you're talking about is so hard. Is part of it is we have to really, really keep watching over and over again how we're trying to control things we cannot control. We are trying to control what is not possible to control. We cannot control life. We cannot control the people outside of ourselves. We can't even control what emotions come up. Right? I mean, we can encourage some and whatnot, but we don't ultimately, again, have this magic key or faucet or whatever it is. So the task of trying to control life is endless and futile. And yet we try and try, but notice you're trying and that it's futile. Notice you're trying and bring the wisdom on board that says this is futile. And over time, what happens? We let go. We let go. We see enough that we are damaging ourselves or others. We see enough that we are not having the effects we want. In fact, we're making it worse. We see it enough and experience it enough with consciousness, with mindfulness. And we learn and we let go. And the letting go is like swallowing your food. You just finally let go. Sometimes it's a bit and sometimes it's a lot. So this, when we come into this space of really trusting this, really trusting we can't control life, we can sit down and buckle up and just go on the ride. Because life is a ride, and there's a saying, 10,000 joys and 10,000 sorrows. And we can't shut ourselves off from the 10,000 sorrows without shutting ourselves off from the 10,000 joys. We can't protect ourselves from death, from illness, from loss, from change, from old age, from people being mad at us. It's not possible. So what we do instead is learn how to sit down, stay present. Now, Nicole, this is back to something that you said, which is when I am able to become mindful and connect with trust, all of a sudden I can become aware. When we are not trusting, when we are, I brought it up before, the simile of the fish, when we are flopping around trying to get away from what's going on, we have no capacity for presence, and we don't have capacity for love. We can't access it because we're reacting, right? It's like trying to get out of a car. You know, you're trying to get and do, and there's no presence. There's no heart in it. So, yes, Nicole, you can. I love that you want to share something.
Lately, there has been this elements that you're talking about, and I try to practice it. And then I notice freedom inner freedom, then it's powerful, so I can do anything. Like I'm free of, you know, I feel light. So it's just, I would say, inner freedom.
Beautiful.
To be whoever I want to be or whatever I want to. It doesn't have to be an outside world, inside. I'm this, I'm that, and I, you know, get the energy.
Great. And you get energy. Great.
Yes.
And that's part of what we're going to talk about later. Okay. Energy. It's coming up. And it does happen. That's right. The two, one follows the other. So, I just need to pause here and look at my notes and figure out what I'm going to choose to say of the many things that are here. I think I'll just, I'm going to read a little bit of a poem from Rosemary Traumer called Growing Trust. Now, since I've tasted trust in life, why would I ever slip into armor? The armor of an insincere smile, sometimes as dangerous as the armor of a sword. Why would I ever try to know what to say, how to act, how to plan, when, with zero effort of my own, life itself will move through me? I'm going to reread that little sentence there. Why would I ever try to know what to say, how to act, how to plan, when with zero effort of my own, life itself will move through me, will rise up in me to meet itself? Of course, like the child I am, I forget this trust. I slip back into habit, believe I need protection, fear, I am isolated. That's the first half of the poem, but it speaks very clearly, I think, to what I've been trying to, we've been trying to weave together here, you know. Yeah, I see head nodding. There's a reason trust is in the start, at the head of this list of the five powers, the five faculties. We need to have trust to sit down on our cushion, to keep coming back, to do this practice, to grow our capacity to be mindful. It's like, what do you do? What do you do when you don't trust? I had an example earlier, but it just doesn't. It's true in every aspect of our life, right? If we don't trust ourselves to bake cookies, are we ever going to sit down and bake cookies? Or when we do, it's just going to be misery, right? Or, you know, likely. We need to have a certain amount of investment. The trust gives us energy. It gives us the freedom from the struggle so that we can engage. So important. So important. And that the crazy thing is we are trusting that we're not in control, right? That it's somehow the system, life, knows how to do what it needs to do. Knows how to digest, the plant knows how to grow, the rain knows how to fall, right? We learn how to walk. All of these things, there's something that just innately knows its nature. And we're not in control. We're not in control. We're not in control of the thinking that happens in our minds. We get to choose how to respond to it. Any thoughts or questions before we shift into small groups? Any other things to add or challenges? Anne, would you like the mic, or are you just stretching your neck? Great. Nicole, go ahead.
how should you keep
going? What I said is true when I sit, when I notice that I'm going through this tension and stress and anger or whatever. But the ideal or my expectation is that even when I'm not sitting, I could feel this inner trust, so it can help me to live my life. Mm-hmm. But it's not ever effortless. Mm-hmm. So it needs effort. Mm-hmm. It needs action. Mm-hmm. It needs attention. Mm-hmm. So I wish it was effortless to be in that state of trust.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe when we're arahants it is. Because essentially what makes it hard in life is all these energies that have to do with greed, wanting, or aversion and hating, and then the fear-making delusion and craziness, you know, that happens in this mental proliferation. And maybe when we get free, those things are gone, and it does become effortless. And this goes also back to the fact that we want to not have to work, but if we don't work, these forces will work us. They will carry us downstream. And maybe this goes back to when these become powers, is that when we are cultivating these capacities, then actually they become like the raft that helps us stay on top of the stream and not get carried downstream. But even in the teachings, the Buddha gives the simile of the raft and says, okay, you're over here on this shore. This is the far shore. This is not peace over here. But that shore over there is peace. That is freedom. And you have to cross this river. And it's the floods of greed, hatred, delusion, all of this papancha in the head. And what do? We have to build a raft, the Buddha says. There's no bridge. There's no boat. There's no way across. We have to build a raft. And he says you find the sticks and the leaves and the vines and you tie it all together and you create a raft and then you get on it and you paddle. You paddle your way across. And you don't go too fast because you'll burn yourself out, and you don't go too slow because you'll get carried down either. So the amount of effort you put in matters too. But we build this momentum that keeps us afloat in the practice, that helps us cross over this stuff. But we've got to put the conditions in motion and sustain them.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Any other questions before we do a breakout group? Or comments, challenges? So why don't we find groups of three? And the first thing to do when you come together with your group is a brief introduction. Brief. First name, where you live, how many times you've been to IMC, and well, that's enough. All right. The next thing to consider is when you connect with trust, how does your energy shift or change? What did you notice when you were talking? Tracy, yes.
I noticed I was getting anxious for other people.
You were getting anxious for other people when mm-hmm. they were talking about...
Yes. Yes, getting stuck in her elevator and missing her bus in Italy.
Yeah, and they eventually were talking about situations where they found trust in this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
or didn't find trust. Yeah. What came up for you, around thinking about your energy or your capacity to love or connect or be present when you had trust? What came up? What did you notice? I heard different kinds of things maybe being prompted, but Mike.
It's funny because the particular situation that I talked about, I hadn't really connected it with trust.
Mm.
But now that I'm thinking about it, it gave me like a sense of like a stable platform or something where I could not be worried about how things were going to turn out and I could be more present for the people I was interacting with.
Beautiful. 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 Well, we are at the end of our time. But just take a minute to breathe in whatever you connected with around trust. And may you carry this deeply in you, in your bones, deep in the recesses of your mind, remembering what it feels like to meet something with this confidence, with trust, with this openness. Not thinking you're going to master it, but that you will stay present for it. And imagine being in the world and meeting things this way, and other people experiencing you meet things this way, them this way. And that's a gift you're giving. And may that gift then be given to somebody else, and beyond, until all beings get this beautiful opportunity to be met and to meet with trust. Thank you for your practice.